Good evening. It's good to see everybody. It's our song service night, so if you're one of the men and want to lead a song, then get prepared. Who's the start-off guy? Bert, that's you? So Bert will let you know what order we're going in, but we'll do that. We'll sing for a while, and then we'll have an invitation at the end. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We hope you'll feel welcome and join in our song service. We typically have Bible study on Wednesday night, but the first Sunday, Wednesday of each month, we do a full service of singing. So we hope you'll come back at some time and join us for classes on Wednesday night, or if we can help you in any way, please let us know. The only announcement as far as members go in sickness is Kathy had a procedure on Tuesday and it went well. She's just waiting for the results of the test to come back. Any other announcements about anybody that's sick? LJ, your crew? Rebecca's still sick? Okay, so half of the house are feeling better. The other half are not. What? Okay, all right, a quarter, a fifth, sorry. Fifth of the house. Anything else? Any other announcements? If not, I've got an announcement to read, and it'll be in the news and notes on Sunday, and it's regarding our plan to find a second evangelist. Regarding our search for a second evangelist, the elders and some of the men have met and studied with a man who may be a good fit to work with us. His name is Chuck Richardson, and his wife's name is Jeannie. Jeannie actually visited last Wednesday night, something we didn't know as they were traveling. She was here with three of her daughters, I think, and her son. As a next step in the evaluation process, we would like to have Chuck and Jeannie come to Middleburg to meet everyone. Chuck will lead some studies and preach so we can all have an opportunity to evaluate him as a potential fit. This will be a congregational process and decision, so we would like for everyone to be involved. I want to emphasize that no decision has been made. We're here to bring him. We feel like we're ready to move forward in the process to give the church here a chance to meet him and his family and evaluate whether we think that he's a good fit for the congregation and be what we're looking for in a second evangelist. Here are the things you can do to prepare. Number one, continue to pray for this work and that God will give us all wisdom and guidance in this important decision. And then mark your calendars, prepare to participate in the following. So on Saturday, 10:15, in the afternoon, probably around 4 o'clock, we're going to have a potluck and study slash devotional. Right now, we'll be at Missy and in my home to meet with Chuck and Jeannie and to be in an informal study devotional with him. And everybody will be invited to that. It will be hopefully something we can all do outside together. The next day, which will be Sunday the 16th, Chuck will teach the Sunday morning auditorium class and preach that morning for us. That afternoon on the 16th, we'll have a congregational meeting sometime in the afternoon with Chuck and Jeannie to hear them discuss themselves and the work and for everyone to ask questions if they have them. Be similar to what we did with Jerry and Jenny when they came down to meet with us. We'll meet here at the building. It'll be an informal discussion. Give Chuck and Jeannie a chance to talk to the group. Chuck to describe himself. Anybody to ask questions they may have of him. And then the last thing you can do is if you have any questions or concerns, you can talk to Jerry or myself or Justin about it. Are there any questions on that? Real quick. Pretty important step. Bert? Yeah, Justin will get it sent out, and we'll be in the news and notes this Sunday also, as far as the details. So we're talking about the 15th and 16th, so we've got a little over a month to kind of plan for that. And there'll be an activity again on Saturday afternoon for everybody, then our normal service on Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon there'll be the kind of the informal get-together here at the building with Chuck and Jeannie. Any other questions? Okay, if there are no other announcements, then we'll get started with our song service. Bert?
All right, in case you're new to this whole operation, we just want to let you know what the deal is. We're all going to sing together. the men who are Christians are welcome to pick out a song and in order come up here and lead, you know, a song or two. I'm not setting a cap when I say a song or two. Sing a few if you like. And I'll start us off with three. But before we do that, so I don't forget, I want to get you to go ahead and mark number 903. 903. Also, Crystal's not feeling well. That's where she's, why she's not here tonight. She's at home. She tried to come, but I told her, don't do it. Stay home. All right, then please turn to 63. Once you've marked 903, turn to 63. I will call upon the Lord. Had a lesson in the high school class, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we just talked about that idea of being dependent on God and how it is a major and a critical step in everyone's life when they finally reach that point where they're ready to say, God, I need you. And they recognize God as the only solution to their problems as a sinner. That's what this song is about. I will call upon the Lord. He ultimately is the only one that can save me.
I will call upon the Lord.
Number 870. You don't have to look very far in life to find where we've all been affected by loss, you know, loss of a loved one, something that sometime even something as simple as a goodbye, where you have to depart from somebody, maybe to never see them again. Frankly, I don't even like saying goodbye, especially to the people I love, even to go away to work for the day. One of my favorite things to think about in heaven is that we won't ever have to say goodbye. We will just be together with God and one another in Him all the time. No more parting.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the lost and dark and evil, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond so fair and bright, land beyond.
Number 875. So after we sing this song, I'll turn it over to you fellas, and we will just start in the front row and work our way from front to back. So it seems to work pretty well. Just look to your right and your left, and if somebody's standing up, then you don't. Cut and dry, sorry.
To 475, glory to his name. 475. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Abides within. There
Turn with me to 539, Higher Ground. 539. I'm pressing on the upward way, through heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as Zion bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. Desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane. To live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. I have found, Lord, let my feet be on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray to heaven above. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you.
Okay, only one new one tonight. 377. 377. He still came. We may have tried this one here before. It sounded familiar to me before I started learning it. The words are terrific. So I think it's a great message. And I think the tune's pretty too. So we'll sing this one, both verses of it. Nothing tricky about it, just singing it through like normal, except that you don't know it. That's the only hard part.
No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill his Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost. From the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help at the end. No out, no substitute. Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth. He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what he offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. He still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost. From the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came.
We're going to keep singing that one. Just be ready for that. All right, 290, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Sing both verses of this one.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me.
Father's glory, place, Spirit, place, send. number 851. Number 790. And let's sing it through twice.
Thank you.
587. Sing and be happy. 587. All three verses.
Sing. If the skies above you are gray, you are in so blue. If your cares and burdens seem gray,
Thomas's song, 269.
Thank you.
47.
Holy, holy, holy.
47. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name.
Thank you. open up to 943.
943. Do you know my Jesus? Probably one of my favorite songs in this book. We'll sing all three verses.
Have you a heart that's weary, bending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know?
Song 83. And traditionally, as I sing this one or lead, sing together, we'll instead of all the singulars, we'll use plurals. So the we love him so, he cares for us. Get the idea? Familiar with that? So we'll sing all four verses and go from there.
God is so
he cares.
Please turn to number 296. We have come into his house. It's 296.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
315. Let us sing.
Thank you.
8:08. Abide with me. 8:08. Let us sing.
Abide with me.
Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, the last page of the biblical text. And I would like for us to look at verses 12 through 17 for just a moment. The book of Revelation is a very interesting book to me. For a lot of people, it is a book that is just so bizarre and apocalyptic that they just don't even want to read it. And yet, I believe that the easiest way to read and to understand the book of Revelation is to just read it as if you were reading a Star Wars movie. You don't try to figure out all the things in the Star Wars movie. You just accept them, okay? And so if you read it like you would read that, then it flows. And it basically is a book that tells us about Christ and his message to the seven churches of Asia, and they're outlined in chapter 2 and 3. And he's basically saying there are some things that you need to take care of, and if you don't take care of them, I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. But I want you to make the changes, and I want you to do what is right. It begins in chapter 4 and goes through the rest of the book, and there are scenarios, and I believe there are about three or four, and they tell the same story using different images. But the story basically is that there is going to be a war between the Christians and those that are opposed to Christians, and if you will remain faithful to Jesus until death, you will be victorious. And so there's all these images that are there, and people get all caught up in, well, what does this horse mean, and what does this beast mean, and so forth. And I'm going, no, just read the story. They knew what it meant. We don't. It doesn't matter to us. But what is interesting to me is that throughout this entire book, Jesus is allowing John the Apostle, who I believe is a very elderly man, much older than me, probably in his 90s, okay, or thereabouts, writing at the end of the first century, and he's writing to these Christians to stay faithful. And we come to the end of the book in chapter 22. And Jesus is speaking in verse 12, and he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And so Jesus is saying here to the apostle, or to the crowd that he's talking to, "I'm coming quickly." Now, we might say, well, no, he really hadn't come quickly because it's been over 2,000 years or 1,900 years since he said this. But if you think of in terms of eternity, 1,900 years is rather quickly. Even if it's another 1,900 years, it's still rather quickly. But Jesus is coming. But notice why he's coming. He's coming to render to every man according to what he has done. And I think that's something that we need to ponder. And I think we need to just ask ourselves, what have we done? What is our life? What have we done in our life? For those of us that haven't reached age 95 but are getting closer to it, we might say, what have we done in the last 50 or 60 years? What have we done to serve Jesus? Those of you that are on the other end of that spectrum, that y'all are like 9.5 or a little bit older, what are you going to do with your life? And how are you going to live? The next statement that Jesus makes in verse 13 says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And he said that several times throughout the book, but he's basically saying, "I'm everything that there is. And so I'm going to be able to come and to render a reward based upon what you have done." Then in verse 14 and verse 15, there is a comment that John the Apostle makes. It is not Jesus talking, but John the Apostle makes this comment. He says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. And so here is a statement that is talking about that we need to be made clean if we are going to be allowed to go to the tree of life, which is a reference to the tree of life that would be back in Genesis chapter 3. It is a phrase that would lead to the idea that there is going to be eternal life. And he says that they can have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. And I believe this washing of the robes is another way of saying that a person needs to be baptized and they need to be cleansed. They need to have their sins washed away. They need to have the forgiveness of their sins. And that's necessary if we're going to enter into the city. Verse 15 is the contrast to entering into the city. It says, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. And so we see here that when Jesus comes, he's going to reward people for what they have done. And there is going to be two alternatives. One is entering into the city and one is going to be outside the city. Those that are inside the city are people that are going to have their robes washed. They're going to be cleansed. They're going to be doing what God says. Those that are outside the city are people that are not going to be doing what God says or have done what God says do. So when we really boil it down to what is life, it is all about doing things in life. And I think, you know, going to school is one of those things. Working and having a family is one of them. But also serving God is one of the things that needs to be done. And how are we doing as far as serving God is concerned? I hope that you are doing very well at that. I hope that you are striving every day to be the type of person that God wants you to be and that you're living God's way. Because I want you to be able to go into that city. I want to go into that city. I don't want to be on the outside. I don't want you to be on the outside. And so as we think about this, we now see that Jesus says something else to John in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. And so he identifies himself once more. And then in verse 17, John makes another comment. John says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I want to focus just my last comment on the phrase, the Spirit and the bride say come. This is the portion of our service that we traditionally call the invitation. And sometimes I think about, okay, what is the most appropriate thing to say for the invitation. And I think this is just one of them. There's many that we could use. But I think we, at the close of our song service, we need to be reminded that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he is going to hold judgment and he's going to reward people for the things that they have done. Some he's going to say, welcome in. And others he's going to say, depart from me. But for right now, the bride, which is the church, based upon what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, the bride is saying to those people that are not part of the bride to come, There's this invitation to be part of the body of Christ. There's this invitation to wash your robes, to get prepared for the day that Jesus will return, for the day that He will give out the reward for the things that you have done, and the day that you can be extremely happy because He will say, "Well done, enter into the city." I will tell you, I don't care what happy day you have had in your life, that day will surpass it. And so if we can help you in any way to get prepared for that day, we would like to invite you to come to the front. Let us know. We'll be glad to talk with you and see how we can help you. And if it is to become a Christian, we will be glad to do that. If it's that you want to study more about how to become a Christian, we would be glad to do that. Or if you would just like for us to be able to talk with you and help you with your Christian life, we would be glad to do that also. And so, whatever your desire might be, we would encourage you to come as together we stand and sing the song that Bert selected.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you war evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion?
Closing prayer.